Shalom Aleichem, Rabbeisai. We are in Chavis Halvavis Shah B'tochen Perek Dalid. Perek Dalid. In my edition of the Leiv Toiv, it's page Shin Nun Beis. We are discussing had to apply bitachon to the realm of mitzvahs that involve other people. And it's really, we should say that it's expanded a bit. He's saying, what should the person's mindset be in approaching mitzvahs that involve other people? So, let's recap briefly. I'll recap comprehensively, but briefly. We talked about mitzvahs such as tzedakah, chesed, teaching, admonishing, speaking nicely to other people, speaking well of other people, etc. And he said, first of all, you approach these things because you know that this is what Hashem wants of you. That is why you're doing these things. That's why you want to be a sensitive person. In other words, you do it, you're not doing Bein Odom HaChavera just with the focus of Hashem. Hashem wants you to connect to the other person. He wants you to feel the other person, but he wants you to do it because he wants you to, not just because you're humane. If it's coming from a place of being humane, it probably will often conflict with Torah values. And do it with the sole one you're trying to please being Hashem, meaning not in order to gain prestige, not in the hope of reciprocation, not because you would like to feel up and above. And then we added that you try, just like with other areas of mitzvahs, you do yours, and whether it will actually bear fruit or not is up to Hashem. You do everything in your power. We said that this is very relevant because a lot of times when we're trying to help somebody and it doesn't work out, we feel like it was just a complete failure. But that's not so. Or you're trying to teach something, you're trying to You take up the banner of a certain spiritual initiative which you feel is lacking, and you get involved in a very worthy endeavor, trying to change public awareness on something, and you don't succeed. So you have to remember that this also is about what's your share is the efforts that you made. Hashem will decide how it should actually play out. And then we leave it up to him. I'm sorry, just 1 minute, Rabbi Yisrael, just 1 minute. I apologize, Rabbeisai. That was important. Okay. Now we move on to his next point. And now he says, V'yizahel kefi yecholta b'kol zeh. When you are engaging in these different mitzvahs, when you are engaging in these different mitzvahs that involve other people, so obviously, well, to a certain extent, when you're doing mitzvahs that involve other people, you're not going to be able to give a shir without anybody knowing about it. But to whatever extent you can, even when you're involving other people, try to keep it from anybody who doesn't need to know about it. Because the more concealed it is, your schar will be greater than if it's known. So this is a big point. And what's behind it really is the understanding that when we are busy with other people, we are invariably focused on them. When you talk to another person, you are invariably focused on, am I getting my point across? Or let me try to understand this person. What kind of impression am I making? You're very, very conscious of the other person and his thoughts when you're busy dealing with another person. And this will very often come at the expense of, like, let's say, for example, a person decides he wants to do a certain mitzvah with full fervor. He wants to, take some mitzvah, and he wants to put on tefillin with absolute concentration, focus on Hashem, make it a very, very intense experience of spirituality. That's much easier to do when you're dealing with a mitzvah that is just between you and Hashem. There's no person involved. Once there's a person involved, it is almost inevitably going to inhibit your focus on Hashem, because there's another person that you're dealing with. And therefore, that's one reason why the more people are involved, the more people know about it, the more it may affect your L'shem Shamayim aspect and diminish the schar. Now, we do have to note something, that you can easily make the mistake of coming away from this saying, once a person knows about it, it's worthless. Chofetz Chaim Soloveitchik didn't say that. The Chofetz Chaim Soloveitchik, as in much of his sefer, is talking about aiming for the highest of levels. But if someone tells you that if you do XYZ, you'll get a billion, but if not, you'll only get 100 million. If you can't go for the billion, you'll go for the 100 million. So whenever we talk about these things, when we get into the Musar Sfarim, into where the schar is greater, etc., we don't want to make the mistake of, it could quickly turn into, well, if you don't do it this way, you lost its value. Chas v'shal. If you do a mitzvah and plenty of people know about it, and you're happy that they know about it, and you want them to know about it. Why? You want them to know. You want them to know that you're a great guy. That does not make them worthless at all. As long as your intent is also Hashem. Meaning, if you are, Hashem is completely not a part of the equation. It's only about the other people. Okay, there already is questionable whether you lose the whole value of it. But when a person is doing it because he wants to do a mitzvah, but you know what? I'd like my neighbor to see that too. I'd like everybody to know what a great guy I am. That has immense value. It has immense value. Just what? He's telling us that there's an even higher level. There's a higher level if you could actually keep it concealed from others. But I want to say another thing. That this is a level that you don't necessarily jump to immediately. We would do well to utilize the shelo lishma of other people's recognition as an incentive to do the right thing. If I can get myself, otherwise, perhaps I wouldn't do it at all. I'll give you a mashal. This is not exactly benotam lachaveri, but I'll give you a couple of mashalim for this. Rabbi Victor Miller, I'll give you both an incident, a piece of advice that he gave, and an incident from his life. Someone once approached Rabbi Victor Miller and said, "My Shabbos table is a mess. Baruch Hashem, I have a lot of lively kids, and always be somebody doing something or the other. I'll never have the beautiful, serene, calm, peaceful reality of, just saying divrei Torah, my kids sitting and listening wide-eyed. There will always be somebody making trouble, someone squirting soda on the other kid, etc. What very often ends up happening is that I lose it, I get upset, and I feel bad that, so many of my Shabbos just end up in me losing it, yelling at the kids, etc." So Rabbi Victor Miller told him, very Rabbi Victor Miller-like advice, very pragmatic, blunt, down to earth. He said, "Here's my answer to you. Every week, either invite two yeshiva bachrim or two seminary girls to your Shabbos table. You see, your behavior will be perfect." Now, it sounds like a joke, but it's not a joke. It's serious. Before we talk about pure intent, are you doing something with pure intent? First, the question is, are you doing it? And that's a lot more basic. If you can get yourself to do it by not using pure intent, that's what Chazal tell us. It's a means of getting to the correct intent. So yes, if you can utilize other people's recognition as a means of getting yourself moving in the right direction, that's fine. I would even say it's ideal. It's l'chatchila because it is the way of getting there. And by the way, there's a big difference in this sense between a person whose sole interest is using other people's recognition and another person who is doing it because he would like to be in the right direction. He would like to be getting toward true l'shem shamayim. He says, I'm not holding there yet. If I know that if I'm just going to operate with l'shem shamayim, I won't do anything. So utilize other people's recognition. And here's the second incident. And now I already thought of a third incident about somebody else. Rabbi Victor Miller was toward the end of his life, he was in the hospital. And a grandson was with him. He had different family members staying with him at different times. And a grandson was with him. He ate a meal and he benched with a lot of kavana. And he turned to his grandson and he said, once again, very bluntly and directly, he said, you know, I appreciate the fact that you're here. Because had I been alone, I probably would not have mustered up the kayak to bench with kavana. You were here. I couldn't let you down. So I benched with kavana. I didn't want you to see me benching without kavana. It's a serious point. It's something that we can allow ourselves to use. Better to be operating with a lot of shalei lishma than not to be operating at all. And if you do it with the vision of, I would like to get to lishma, so okay, it's a process. It's a process. They say that there was a person who headed a network of kollelim. And he used to maintain there's a few of these networks where there's kollelim in like many cities around Eretz Yisrael. It's one network. And this person headed such a network and used to do very, very heavy duty fundraising. He was a Rosh Kollel, he was a chash of a Jew, respected Jew, had a large network of maestas, of institutions, and used to spend a lot of time and effort fundraising. And he was very close with Rav Steinman. Rav Steinman once asked him, he said, tell me, what percentage of your activities, with all your activities, you're running around and you're raising money, real mesiros nefesh, what percentage of it is lishma? And what percentage of it is shalei lishma? You enjoy the recognition, you enjoy the stimulation. So this person answered very honestly. He said, I don't know, I'd say 50-50. So Rav Steinman said, that's a shame, because if it was 75% lei lishma and 25% lishma, you'd probably accomplish so much more. Okay, once again, it's a joke, but it's a joke with a certain serious point to it. Yes, the highest level is to do things completely l'shem shamayim. But do not, because of that, completely disparage the level of doing things. Yes, because I also want people to know about it, and I enjoy the recognition, and I enjoy the good feeling. Realize that if a person approaches that honestly and says, I want to get myself to the right place, and yeah, I know that for me now, it will take that added incentive of people's recognition, then yes, that is a very real and solid track of Avodas Hashem. But once again, we're not going to go away from what the Chavos Halev is telling us, that if you can get to a place where you can knock some more people out of the equation and make it that much more Hashem focused, you're reaching higher. And here I would make a suggestion. It doesn't have to be in the realm of, the big activities. You don't have to go out now and make a donation of $500,000 to a yeshiva anonymously in order to achieve this. You live at home with other people. You have a spouse at home. You have children at home. Do something for them without them knowing about it. Just because you want to do chesed, it's completely l'shem shemayim, it's not a part of your human dynamics. Something that you know will make the other person happy, that will please them without them knowing about it. Now, don't do that all the time. Because even if you are in the Madrega, because on the contrary, in our close relationships, part of what builds a relationship is seeing what the other person is doing for you. So there's actually part of the chesed is the fact that he knows that you're doing it, or that she knows that you're doing it. But you can gain this aspect also. I sometimes do it, I'd say consistently, but once a day, once a week, whatever it is, make a point of doing some sort of something for the other person that they don't know about. And that way you're getting an exercise in this area of avodah also. Okay, we will end here for tonight. A guten Shabbos to all. Thank you very much.